Welcome to the Search Storage UK FAQ podcast on NAS storage. I'm Anthony Adshead, UK Bureau Chief, Search Storage UK. Today's speaker is Simon Johnson, Data Recovery Practice Lead with Glasshouse Technologies UK. There are four questions in today's FAQ podcast on NAS storage. The first question is, what is NAS and how does it differ from other forms of storage?
NAS is essentially storage that is accessed over an IP network. And as appliance is a combination of components we would typically see within servers or within our laptops, and those are CPU, central processing units, memory, disk storage on the back end, and most importantly for NAS, an operating system which has been optimized for file sharing. The operating system will typically run multiple protocols to share that storage over IP, such as NFS on the Unix side, FIPS for Windows, and AFP for an Apple client, Apple Macintosh client. NAS systems are typically made up of one or more processing units or heads, a number of connected disk enclosures on the back end that can either be supplied with the NAS unit or can leverage your existing storage state. While NAS typically provides storage at the file level, implementations can leverage block-level presentation over iSCSI and moving forward 5-channel over Ethernet, FCOE, to work at a block level. And the important thing to understand there is NAS units rarely limit clients to a single protocol or single set of protocols. They have a lot of flexibility around it to serve up storage in different formats and across different operating systems. In terms of how NAS differs from other storage, there are really three other main areas of storage. One is SAN, so fiber channel, presents over a storage area network, storage that's presented at the block level. The second is NAS itself, storage that is presented across an IP network. And the third is direct track storage, storage that we have directly attached to our server or actually residing within our servers connected via SCSI or IDE or direct fiber channel. I'm going to focus here on NAS and SAN as they're both storage mediums that are accessed over different network types. At first glance, NAS and SAN might seem almost identical, and in fact, many times, either will work in any given situation. After all, both NAS and SAN generally use RAID, redundant disks on the back end, connected to a network, that data served up to systems and then backed up. However, there are some key differences that can seriously affect the way your data is utilized and how NAS is used. NAS provides both storage and file system capabilities. This is often contrasted with SAN, which provides only block-based storage and leaves file system concerns to the client side. Some key differences between SAN and NAS. SAN systems operate over a dedicated fiber channel network, which is typically used only for storage, whereas NAS systems operate over an IP network, which can be shared for other application traffic. So they don't rely on a dedicated storage area network using 5-channel protocols. They leverage existing networks through MPOTA, they can leverage those existing networks and interact with other communications flowing across those networks.
The second question is, what can NAS be used for and what can't it be used for?
Traditionally, NAS was seen for applications which work mainly at the file level. So examples of that are file sharing, document management systems, or target for archive solutions. You know, the presentation there of unstructured data and data that doesn't have to be presented at block level to meet support and other performance requirements. NAS has always been good for applications which need to share access between Windows and Unix operating systems. As discussed previously, it supports NFS, SIFS, and Apple Mac profiles, so it can serve up storage across the board. NAS was not typically so often used for intensive block storage-based applications with large database or email systems. So where we saw aggressive SLAs and aggressive performance requirements around data being served up, and at the block level, we always see that over SAN as a storage medium rather than NAS. As the size and performance levels of NAS systems have increased, however, these limitations in the main have been lifted. Mid-tier and high-end NAS solutions can today be used as a storage repository for those systems that we typically saw in the SAN arena, so Exchange, Lotus Notes, Oracle, SQL, SAP, any of those structured databases the previously used SAN can now be delivered and are delivered through NAS solutions. Protocols such as iSCSI bridge the gap between file-based NAS solutions and block-based SAN solutions. This is being taken forward with SCOE, which I'll come on and talk about in a minute. iSCSI, or protocols that wrap fiber channel into IP, wrap those blocks so they can be transported over an Ethernet network. Where a SAN solution encapsulates SCSI commands within the fiber channel frames, the iSCSI solution encapsulates SCSI commands within the TCP IP packets. So they're using the same protocol, they're just wrapping in different communication mediums. Applications which rigidly demanded block-based access to their data can therefore still use a network-based storage solution but using Ethernet rather than fiber channel. Moving forward, fiber channel over Ethernet, XGOE, enables the mapping of fiber channel frames over full duplex networks. This enables fiber channel to leverage 10 gig E networks while preserving the fiber channel protocol.
The third question is, in what forms can I buy NAS products?
NAS products and NAS storage can be purchased in all shapes and sizes, from small, inexpensive single disk solutions aimed at the home office or small office environment, up to large-scale enterprise-class systems providing petabytes of high-performance capacity to the end servers and systems. Enterprise-class systems can be deployed as single units, clustered systems, or as NAS gateways. A single unit solution consists of a single controller or head unit and a number of disk enclosures. This is the lowest cost solution but provides no protection from the failure of the head unit. So if we think about those NAS solutions that are offered at the for the small office and home office, you'll typically buy those in a single controller configuration. A clustered solution, as we move up into the mid-tier and enterprise range, provides HA, which typically has two or more heads connected to a shared set of disk enclosures. Different vendors implement clustering of the head units in different ways. Some vendors use an active-active model, so both head units are operational in the event of failure or redundancy in offering from one activity and IO moves over to the other. This enables all head units to service requests from the host, while other vendors will use an active-passive model. So one of the heads will be facilitating IO requests and transaction requests. If that fails or degrades, it will pass over to the passive node, which will take over and become active. A NAS gateway is a head which is used to connect third-party storage, usually provided from the SAN. The gateway connects to the SAN, allowing consolidation of storage in the back-end system. So if you already have a significant investment in SAN storage, you want to start to leverage NAS and the benefits of NAS that have been discussed. You can purchase a gateway that enables you to use that, assuming the storage on the back end is supported by the NAS vendor, rather than having to buy your NAS appliance with storage already built in. All that data is therefore stored on the SAN, so you're getting the performance benefits out of the SAN, you're getting the HA features and availability of the SAN, the RAID redundancy and back-end redundancy of that, with the NAS gateway enabling optimized file-based access to the storage.
Final question is, how do I scale NAS?
In terms of scaling NAS, the smaller systems discussed, aimed at small office and home office, are designed to provide simple and low-cost storage solutions for small capacity requirements. Many of these are not designed to scale at all or particularly well, and are designed as a standalone purchase with a fixed amount of I/O capability and a fixed amount of storage on the back end. Departmental enterprise level solutions, however, can be scaled by adding additional back-end storage capacity. By this I mean disk drives and disk enclosures, and by adding additional front-end I/O capacity. So at this end we have more network interface controllers, fiber channel host adapters, increased CPU, increased memory, essentially all the functions that mean that the NAS headers can drive and service more clients and an increased I/O demand on traffic through to the back-end storage via the NAS gateway. NAS gateway systems allow even higher levels of scalability as they provide access to the large enterprise-level SAN storage systems and the highest levels of capacity and performance they provide. So those gateways sit in front of investments you already have in SAN. They can service a certain amount of IO transaction a certain amount of storage, and as you want to scale up from that, you can purchase additional gateways that can continue to leverage that back-end SAN storage while addressing the transactional intensity and transactional patterns that are demanded by the servers and systems that they're servicing.